So we're going to consider the wonderful grace of our God today from Romans chapter 8. We have come back to Romans chapter 8, and this chapter is nearly gone as far as our going through it, mostly verse by verse, because there is so much here to enjoy. We'll begin reading at Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. It is the Spirit who applies this wonderful grace to God's people. He is the one who is shed abroad in the hearts of the believers. Verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? It's very interesting, this verse 32. There is a little tiny Greek word that's called a particle. And sometimes those particles are not translated, but this one would be very well translated at the beginning of verse 32. Surely he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 33. And we do desire God the Holy Spirit himself to come today and to apply to us the great benefits of Christ, his perfect life and his atoning cross work for us. May he do us good today for Jesus' sake. We are looking at verse 33. This is a part of a series of questions that the apostle asked after these great things that have been set out regarding God's grace and his people. And so these questions, many questions are asked here just to deal with any who would try to disagree with what the apostle was preaching and setting forth these questions as very obvious, getting the answer that is so clear. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? There's no need to do that, because it is God that justifieth. Athanasius, you may remember a month ago, we considered his life. He was the great defender of not only the Holy Trinity, but he was the great defender of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was so hated for his stand that Jesus Christ is God, that some of their beliefs, and they made it very clear to me, they said to me, in their belief, Jesus Christ is not God. But I said, Jesus Christ is God. And I can prove it to you from the Word of God. The Word of God says it so clearly. Well, these enemies of Athanasius tried several times to have him killed because he believed that Jesus Christ is God. So in 334 AD, these Arian enemies persuaded Arsenius, one of their own bishops, to go into hiding. Then the Arians circulated a rumor that Athanasius had murdered Arsenius and cut off his hand, and Athanasius was planning on using that hand in Satan worship. Well, the Arians then came forward and displayed the hand of the dead man. And in 335, a council met in the city of Tyre with the Emperor Constantine present to try Athanasius for his crime. Meanwhile, the friends of Athanasius had found Arsenius hiding in a monastery on the other side of the Nile River. So they secretly brought Arsenius to the council. At the point in the council when the dead man's preserved hand was brought forward and exhibited, Athanasius began leading forward a man with his head covered. When he got to the front of the assembly, he uncovered the man's head and asked, "Is not this Arsenius?" And they all knew it was. Then Athanasius had Arsenius to raise his hands in the air. Athanasius remarked triumphantly, "I suppose no one thinks that God has given to any man more hands than two." So he had both his hands, and the charges, of course, against Athanasius were immediately dropped. Well, as Athanasius was accused before a court of law, that is the very language that is used here in verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Literally, who shall bring any judicial proceedings against God's elect? As Athanasius was delivered from false accusers, so every believer is delivered by God by His almighty grace. Now, God gave this section of Romans through the Apostle Paul especially to strengthen the assurance of believers. There is an issue right there. That is a big issue in the Christian church. Strengthening the assurance of God's people. That the believer would know that he's safe forever from every unfounded fear and doubt. That is a very important matter. So the apostle and the Holy Spirit moving the apostle has given us so much evidence for this great matter of having the assurance of our salvation. So looking into verse 33, let us ask three questions. Questions are being asked. We'll ask three questions. Who are our accusers? For the question is asked, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who are our accusers? Secondly, who are the accused? We see that in the verse. And then lastly, who is the justifier? So we take, first of all, who are our accusers? Revelation chapter 12, verses 9 and 10 calls Satan the accuser of the brethren. He is always ready to cast doubt on our sonship and on our relationship to the Lord. Now, some of y'all are old enough to remember years ago when some of us were little kids, we watched Popeye the Sailor Man. And he had this dark creature on one shoulder whispering in his ear, and then sometimes it would be this angel on the other shoulder. Well, that the whispering of the dark being, the evil one, would always be ready to accuse. Ha ha ha, I caught you. And you know you are a dirty, rotten sinner. You are no child of God at all. So Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He's been cast out of the third heaven. And woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because he's come down having great wrath. And what does he do? He spends so much time as the accuser of the brethren. He had been accusing the saints of God before the throne of God, but now he accuses the saints in their own consciences. To us, Satan will often tell the truth, but he tells it in a twisted way. He says, you're a sinner by nature and you're a sinner by habit. But you don't ever hear him saying, thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses you from all sin. You'll never hear him whisper that to you. Well, Satan did this to the Lord Jesus Christ twice in the temptation. He tried to cast doubt on the sonship of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he say to him? If thou be the Son of God. And again, he repeated it a little later on. If thou be the Son of God. And you know, if he would be so low down to use that tactic on the God-man, you know he'll try it on you. And why will he do that? Because our assurance doesn't run as deeply as Christ did. For Christ was and is the eternal Son of God. From all eternity, he is God the Son. But we have become the sons of God. We are not the sons of God from all eternity like Christ was. We have become the sons of God in time. And our sonship as believers lasts forward into all of eternity, going forward into the future. It is as the hymn writer said, what though the accuser roar of ills that I have done, I know them well, and thousands more. Jehovah findeth none. Praise his name. Well, Satan is a big accuser. Who are our accusers? Who will lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Not only will Satan accuse us, our own consciences will often accuse us. We have to live with our own consciences. And sometimes it's such a blessing that our consciences accuse us. Accusation is naturally followed by condemnation by the conscience. And that's where we live. And we've got to know how to deal with that. This accusation is usually accompanied by the law of God, by the word of God. And I tell you, it can only be answered by the grace of God, from the word of God. It is by recalling that we are justified by the Almighty that gives us relief from the lashes of a guilty conscience. By confessing our sin and remembering that we are justified by the declaration of Almighty God. What are we to do? We are to plead the freeing power of Christ's blood against even the accusations of our own conscience. The Apostle John dealt with this in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20. He said, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Now, don't believe your heart. Believe the word of God. Okay. Because our hearts will sometimes not tell us the truth. I'll give you that verse again. 1 John 3:20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Now, sometimes other people, in addition to our own consciences and the devil, sometimes other people will try to guilt us and try to accuse us. And that is when they see inconsistencies in our lives, it actually makes them feel better about themselves. Now, let me say that again. When lost people around you see an inconsistency in your life, it actually makes them feel better about themselves. But they're not going to tell you that. Instead of telling you, just made me feel really good about myself because I see you're a sinner too, like me. Of course, they won't usually tell you that truth about themselves. But instead of telling you that, they'll say, a fine Christian you are. Look at what you've done. Can't you see what an awful sinner you are? Well, they will accuse us, and we have to repent of our sin, confess our sin. Well, then there are those modernistic so-called theologians, I'd prefer to call them neologians, who teach that Christ did not make a real substitutionary sacrifice for his believing people. They say that all he was an example. But his being an example would not help a guilty conscience. It would only make it worse. We see the wonderful holy example of Christ, and then we look at ourselves and we see that we are not holy as he is holy. It only makes it worse. So we reject modernism because it has no answer for a guilty conscience. It is only the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus Christ in our behalf, his blood, his life given for us, that has a conscience-clearing value, a conscience that can be made a clean conscience, a righteous, sound conscience by the grace of God. Well, we have looked at our accusers. Let's notice, secondly, who are the accused in this verse? Verse 33, who shall lay anything? Who shall bring judicial proceedings against God's elect? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You see who they are that are accused? The children of God, God's elect children. And you know, Christians, we should use this term. God uses this term. This is how he describes us. Christians should always think of ourselves in the terminology that God uses concerning us. We are the sinners that he chose before the foundation of the world. He foreknew us. He foreordained us to everlasting life. Now I ask you, is Almighty God going to let any charge stand against his precious, purchased possessions? Certainly will not. He has set his elect people apart for himself. The decree of election is an irreversible decree. God cannot unelect those that he has chosen. Have you ever read that in the Bible? Paul says it in Romans chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Paul says in this case, God forbid, meaning may it never be. Don't even let that enter into your mind. It is senseless. Romans 11, verses 1 and 2, hath God cast away his people, which he foreknew? God forbid. No. Election is our doctrine. It is to be used in times of spiritual distress to encourage ourselves in the Lord. God's election of his people is absolutely certain. And that election will attain. It will attain eternal glory for all for whom he has chosen. God is faithful. And we read again in Romans 11, toward the end of the chapter, verse 29. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He will not turn. What he has chosen, what he has foreordained, he will certainly carry through. Now, having surveyed our accusers and those who are accused, Let us finally answer, who is the justifier? Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. What does it mean to be justified? Well, it means more than we often think. It means not only to be declared not guilty, but it also is God's declaration to us that we are righteous in His sight with an infinite righteousness. What are we made in Him? For God hath made Christ to be sin for us, though He knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We are not made righteous with the righteousness of the first Adam. We are made righteous. We are declared righteous in God's sight with the very righteousness of God. It is an infinite righteousness. It is an unchangeable righteousness. It stretches forward to all eternity. Now, the reason that God so justifies sinners is that our Lord Jesus Christ's infinite merits in both His living for us and His dying for us are freely applied to the account and to the cases of every elect believing sinner. Now, since God alone is the judge, He refuses to accept any accusations against His children. He will not accept them. Do you know what He did? I believe that when Michael, who is picturing our Lord Jesus Christ, cast out the great dragon and cast him down to the earth and to this lower region to be the prince of the power of the air, he no longer has access to where the Lord Jesus Christ is enthroned and exalted at the Father's right hand. He will not accept the accusations of the evil one or anyone else against His people. He sees in us neither guilt nor iniquity. You may think that's taking it too far. He sees in us neither guilt nor any iniquity. If you go back to the Lord's word to the children of Israel through Balaam so long ago in Numbers chapter 23 and verse 21. God, who could speak through Balaam's ass, could certainly speak through Balaam. In Numbers chapter 23 and verse 21, He said of God, He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath He seen perverseness in Israel. God, the judge, God, the one who justifies, did not see iniquity or perverseness in Jacob. In Israel, there was plenty to see. There was plenty of sin there, but God sovereignly chose to see them as what? Not guilty, not perverse, not a lawless people. He who justifies refuses to recognize any sin in the objects of His favor whom He has justified. God would sooner unmake this world than go back or reverse His judicial declaration. Those in Christ are saved and safe for all eternity because God alone has the right of bestowing eternal life. The Lord and the Apostle Paul are in this section of Romans arming the believer with confidence to destroy every fear and every anxiety. With the divine logic in Romans 8:33, we can answer the devil and his accusations against us. Oh, he's going to continue to whisper. Well, what are you going to say when he whispers, oh, you are a big phony. There's no reality. There's no spiritual life in you. Or you wouldn't have done that. You ever heard that before? If you heard that, it's a good evidence you're a Christian. Well, now you think about this. When the devil comes and puts that condemnation upon us because of our sins, what should we do? We should honestly reply to him. I know that I'm unworthy. I know that I'm sinful. but God has justified me in Christ. I do not rely upon myself for anything. I am relying utterly, only, and absolutely on the Lord Jesus Christ, on who He is and on what He has done on my behalf. That's how we can answer the accusations. Stand on justification by faith alone. You know what? It's the only ground you have to stand on anyway. So you better stand there on the doctrine, the teaching, the reality of justification by faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone. It is God that justifieth. Who shall bring judicial proceedings against God's elect? They may do it, but they will not do it successfully. As surely and as certainly as Athanasius was delivered by the living man Arsenius, we who believe on Christ are delivered by His dead body slain in our behalf, and by that same body raised again for our justification. Praise His name. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Let us pray together. O God, our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the truth of Thy holy word. We thank Thee that we don't have to listen to the lies, but Lord, it is so good to consider Thy truth, to meditate on Thy truth day and night. O God, help us not to look to ourselves, but to look to Christ alone, His righteousness in our behalf. Lord, we thank Thee for this, and we pray that Thou wilt seal it to our hearts. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen.